Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, he's back, Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. We have attorney Anthony Bandiero. Yes, search and seizure all day long, but it's not as boring as it sounds. He makes it engaging. I know I attached the word boring with search and seizure. I apologize, Anthony. Oh, I mean, attorney Anthony. I have to use the word attorney before Anthony, some kind of disclosure thing. But anyhow, thank you so much for being on the show, attorney Anthony Bandiero. We really appreciate it. And he should add some interesting perspective to the show. And we've also got Dr. Travis Yates. You know, the hardest part about doing shows with attorneys and doctors is like, which title's more important? You put that guy first. Is the doctor ahead of the attorney ahead of the doctor? I'm sure I'll hear about it from one of them at the end of the show. But we have Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. He's also with Courageous Police Leader, travels the country telling people about you. We need more courageous police leaders. It affects from the top all the way down. So thanks so much for being on the show, Travis. I see Andrea shaking her head. And yes, Andrea, crowd favorite. She's been on the show for I can't say really. We've been around for over a decade now. This month, we've been around for 10 years. I know, Andrea, it's crazy. But Andrea's been with us for a long, long time. I know she looks so young. So Andrea Casal, retired from the Tampa Police Department. So thanks, guys, so much for being on the show. Hey, shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They really, I assure you, go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. And don't forget that special discount code, Radio15, in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. We also have ComplianTechnologies.com. We're a satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio with Westwood One for the last year. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And not only do they help you get people that are going to go to your agency, work there, and you can retain them for the right reasons, they also are helping us reach about 1 million people on the stream right now during the live show. And twobells.com, they've built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. So check that out. And shout out to Brian Burns for the TampaFreePress.com. I talked to Brian yesterday. He's running all of our content, getting us on MSN. He's doing a great job. Also, Ray Dietrich with formerlawman.com. And finally, our very own Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And don't forget, we have relaunched Leo Affairs at leoaffairs.ch. Not because the first two letters are the first two letters of my first name, but because it's hosted in the Sweden area. That's why we have this .ch extension, which is for your protection and your privacy. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? We do have a main topic, guys. It's kind of interesting. New data reveals the horrific truth about illegal immigrant crime. How bad is it? You're about to find out. There may be some surprises here. Also, boys share. I expect to hear from Andrea on this one. Boys share an AI-generated nude images of 13-year-old girl, and she's the one that gets expelled. Curious, you know, what the commentary is going to be on that one. Then we got Springfield police. They released a body cam of a taser incident that left the suspect dead. This dude face plants. It's not necessarily a taser death. It's just like an impact death, right? It's a bad face plant. And then we've got Monterey County deputy shot armed man through the windshield. That's an interesting one. We got Queens, a senior in Queens begins a 4-year sentence on gun charges after a justified self-defense shooting. Anthony, I know you're going to be all over that. I'm sorry, attorney Anthony. Police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. We still have guys getting dragged by cars. How's that happening? And then Waterbury detective justified in returning fire after being shot by a carjacking suspect. And if we had time to get to the other ones, Texas officer indicted for murder after an on-duty crash kills 2 children. And then lastly, we have a feel-good story, and we can take these out of order, panelists, if you guys want to. We have a body cam footage that shows Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper. He locates 2 kidnapped children on I-70. Gave me chills watching that. It's just, it's what we're all about. We need more stories and videos like this. It was great. So if you guys don't mind, let's start off with the main topic. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. And on this one, and I'll try to go through this as quick as I can, NewYorkPost.com. So it is a liberal news source. So if you're liberal and you're doubting the data, we're taking it from one of your sources, okay, the New York Post. New data reveals the horrific truth about illegal immigrant crime. So activist claims that illegal aliens commit crimes at lower rates than native-born Americans do may appear convincing, But new data from the New York State, it shows that those are those here illegally, they actually commit crimes at a rate more than 3 times higher than that of legal residents. Again, illegals, 3 times higher committing crimes than the legal residents, and it's costing us billions of dollars. And so they go into some data, so try to kind of simplify it as best I can. It's true that if you lump all immigrants together, so that's legal and illegal, right? Relatively few of them are accused and convicted of crimes committed here in the United States. Legal immigrants, legal, commit crimes at very low rates. So combining their crime data with that of the illegals, it kind of waters it down and it makes it look like it's not that bad. Now, fresh data from the Department of Homeland Security, it offers a fresh look at the question. So the Post has reported that the department claims that over 7,000 of these currently incarcerated in New York State prisons and jails are illegal immigrants. So 7,113 of the people in New York State prisons and jails are illegals. They've been convicted of committing 148 homicides, 717 assaults, 134 burglaries, 106 robberies, over 200 dangerous drug offenses, over 150 weapon offenses, 260 sexual predatory offenses, and then there's more crimes to boot. And going on, it says New York's failure to honor the U.S. Immigration and Customs, you know, the ICE detainers, have resulted in the release of almost 7,000 criminal illegal aliens, and that's just since January. And it says altogether, roughly a little over 50,000 people are incarcerated in New York's prison and jail system. About 32,000 of those 50,000 in New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, and another 18 plus in the state, city, and county jails. Dude, that's a lot. The 7,113 illegal aliens currently incarcerated, they make up about 14% of New York's total inmate population. So that's about the population of blacks in the U.S., right, which is about 13-14%. The illegals make up that in New York, in the New York inmate population. Another confounding factor, immigration authorities often deport the undocumented immigrants directly from prison before they finish their sentences. They don't like to say illegals all the time, so now they're undocumented immigrants. And it says that, look, the data, it just goes on and on and on about how much money it costs taxpayers for beds and the house these people, and how the stats are skewed because a lot of these people are deported before they finish their sentences in jail and stuff. And you don't get that extra data that really should be reflected, but it's missing because they're not currently in jail, but they committed the crimes and they get deported before they finish their sentences. But it's just outstanding data coming from a liberal source, and they're using New York for a lot of the stats. Any commentary on this or any surprises, guys? And Andrea.
All right. The daughter of a legal immigrant. First of all, you know, the thing that just blows my mind is I have yet to see an ethical reason as to why to allow illegal immigrants into the United States. It just does not make sense. There's a reason why there are laws in place. There are reasons why, you know, there's been a way to legally enter the United States for years. You know, in a lot of these countries that they're coming from, these things happen all of the time. The same people that are committing those crimes over there are coming over here illegally, and they're committing them in the United States. The fact that people are not appalled by this, I still have yet to grasp my brain around it. When I saw that you sent us an article from the New York Post, I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, great, this is going to be, you know, something that I'm like, ugh. But, you know, it's true. You know, if you look at the facts, and if people start to recognize, you know, what is going on here, and stop thinking about, you know, all of the, you know, they just look at the facts, look at the facts. You know, unfortunately, the only reason why they want illegal immigrants here is for, you know, either illegal reasons, and so that they can vote, so that we can, you know, a lot of times the bleeding hearts want to sit there and say, oh, you know, let's allow these people in. There are reasons why the laws have been put in place and they need to be enforced.
You know, thanks, Andrea. I just, before you go, Travis, I just want to mention, you know, my wife's Colombian. Her family came over here the same way Andrea's family came over here from Cuba. And it's just such an insult to people that stand in line. I have relatives standing in line trying to get over here and they can't. And then we got the people coming over and I'm paying over $2,500 in healthcare for me and my wife with no kids. And it was over $2,400 last year. It goes up about $150 a year, over $2,500 a month. And that's just not because of any special, that's what everybody that's in my position that leaves Tampa police that want to stay in the program pays. But if I'm illegal, I get free healthcare, free room and board. I get a credit card that's funded. I get, you know, a cell phone and all kinds of stuff. So, hey, we're coming up on time for our first commercial break. So Travis, hold that thought. Commercial break coming up. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandiero, Dr. Travis Yates, and Officer Andrea Casale. We've been talking about crime stats involving illegal immigrants, primarily an article that was written by the New York Post in the New York area, of course. And the stats are just like horrific, you know, three times the crime of what legals are committing. Travis, I know that you're waiting to talk on this, so the floor is yours, buddy.
Well, you're talking about the least surprised of any data I've ever seen, because the sheer fact that one group of people, legal immigrants, would wait and go through the process legally and come into the country and things like that would commit far less crimes than those that violate the law as their first act coming in the country. And there's been a big misinformation game here. And I agree with Andrea. Why is there not this crazy outrage? Well, a lot of it is coming from the politicians, because there's just a huge misinformation. Remember, they've been saying for years, immigrants commit less crime than other blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, because they were taking the illegal immigrants and can put them with the legal immigrants and doing the data that way. What this article did was it separated it. And once you separate it, no shocker, there's a lot of crime. By the way, that's just the tip of the iceberg. A lot of county jails still don't report on the immigration status of people. So we really don't know. And one thing I thought of, I'd love to hear Anthony about this and what he says about this, is apparently the FBI is going to come out with a report in the coming days that violent crime has dramatically reduced in 2025. I mean, I saw numbers as high as 25%. Something doesn't compute with that, because with our own eyes, we're seeing something else. But I just wonder if mass exodus of illegal immigration is not making an impact on real crime reduction. It'd be amazing if that was actually the case, because obviously lives are being saved, but that's a pretty dramatic increase. But these numbers tell me that it's got to make some impact. But what a crazy scam that is, and what a scandal if the former administration intentionally did things that created a spike in violent crime from 2020 on. Oh, which that actually happened. So we should all be paying attention to that.
Wow. Any more commentary, guys, or Attorney Anthony?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would say is that I think that, and Travis probably knows this better than I do, but there's these blue cities, they love to reclassify things, right? To downgrade your robberies to property crimes and your attempted murders to negligent use of a firearm, something like that, right? They do that all the time to get better stats. I think that's also part of the reduction, right? So there might be actually a real reduction in some places because of exodus, but I think the other reduction is hiding the numbers, or, you know, spinning the numbers.
Well, and to, you know, what Anthony's saying, that really happens. You know, it happened in the agency that we worked for, and I'd sit there and be like, if you're going to reclassify my report, then don't call me to testify for that once you've altered my police report or once you've altered the stats. You know, it actually happens, and it seems so unreachable, and people do not sit there and they don't think that there's any possible way that that's happening. But I'm going to tell you right now, I had arguments with supervisors about that same exact thing. And unfortunately, you know, it happens. It happens all over the place.
Yeah, we just had this big report right here, Chip, where DC Metro was doing that. And what we said at the time was, that's not just DC Metro. That is happening in a lot of places.
Yeah. Tampa. We went through that in Tampa. Very frustrating. So I know, but our crime suddenly went down, didn't it, Andrea? It was amazing. Yeah. So, well, guys, if you're ready, and look, hey, I know I gave some extra articles out there. So if there's anything you want to take out of order, you know, please, you know, let me know. I was going to cover the AI generated images of the 13-year-old girl, if unless you guys wanted to jump to something else. So so endtimeheadlines.org is where this came from. Boys share an AI generated nude images, plural, of a 13-year-old girl. And she's the one that ends up getting expelled. So this happened in August 2025, Sixth Ward Middle School in Louisiana. AI generated nude images of 8 female students and 2 adults started circulating among the students via Snapchat and possibly on the TikTok platform as well. So the fake images were created by, they took photos from social media of these people and they used AI tools to what they call nudify them. And there was teasing and bullying going on because of that. But remember, we're talking about young kids. So a 13-year-old eighth grade girl, she became one of the primary targets. And her and 2 of her friends reported the images to a school guidance counselor early on August the 26th. And they were trying to get help with these rumors that were being spread around the school about them. They also approached a sheriff's deputy assigned to the school. So I guess an SRO. The images shared on Snapchat were automatically deleted and they could not be located at the time. So the principal, Danielle Coral, she initially treated the reports as just hearsay and she expressed skepticism because there was no physical evidence immediately available. And so now we're kind of entering the realm of like Anthony Banderas' world. So throughout the day, and I'm talking about evidentiary. So throughout the day, the girl endured relentless bullying about the fake nudes. And I mean, it's, as an adult, it's bad enough when you're talking about these young kids, though, I cannot even express how, hopefully people get how serious that is. Throughout the day, the girl endured relentless bullying about the fake nudes. In the afternoon, she returned to the counselor requesting a call to her father, but she was denied. And as the school day came to a close, she boarded the bus where a boy was openly showing the images to others, including fakes of her friends. And now, being kind of overwhelmed, she ended up slapping the boy, hit him again, encouraged others to join in. So 2 classmates struck this guy, and then she then punched and stomped on him. Now, a video of the fight, it showed the students, it was circulating the images, and then it went on Facebook. And despite having no prior disciplinary issue or record, the girl ended up being expelled for a full semester, 89 school days, and they sent her to an alternative school. Now, we're getting close to the next break, so I got a minute left. I'm going to try to get through this. The boy accused of creating and sharing the images reportedly faced no school discipline, and he was not transferred. 3 weeks later, at a disciplinary hearing, the expulsion ended up being upheld. And weeks afterward, the sheriff's department charged 2 boys with 10 counts each of unlawful dissemination of AI-generated images under a new Louisiana law. The girl faced no criminal charges considering the circumstances. And then her father, Joseph Tucker Daniels, he described the images as full nudes with her face put on them, expressed devastation over the expulsion, and talked about her being victimized multiple times by the images and all that kind of stuff. It goes on to say that after 7 weeks, an appeal to the school board succeeded. She returned to school on November the 7th. On probation until the end of January 2026. So I'm going to leave it there. We'll come back and then we'll take commentary. Second commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing you with non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've actually, as Scott knows, they have over 250,000 deployments. Guess what? No injuries, no deaths. That's an amazing, unbelievable stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, if you're transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip and Scott sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandero, Dr. Travis Shates from Tulsa, Officer Andrea Casal from Tampa. And hey, we left off talking about boys sharing AI-generated nude images of a 13-year-old girl and others, and she ended up getting expelled from the school. And just going up from the story, I know her dad was real upset. She was doing all kinds of complaints. The images were self-deleting, so it was hard for them to get the proof of the images. And then she's on, at the end of the day, she's on the bus home, and he's, you know, there's a kid on there doing it again, and she hits him at least once, and then she gets other kids to join in, you know, on the beat down, and she ends up getting expelled. After 7 weeks and appealed to the school board, she returned to school November the 7th, and she was on probation until the end of January 29th of 2026. And she's got restrictions. She's barred from attending dances, sports, and extracurricular activities. Now, I know she's young, but still, those are in place. The school investigation eventually confirmed that the images were there, but they faced challenges as students initially denied the responsibility, which is what I would expect, you know, anyhow, that they would deny being responsible. Principal Cordial or Corell commented that kids lie a lot and often exaggerate issues. So that was her stance on this. Superintendent Jared Martin defended the district's action, stating that the victims can sometimes also be perpetrators and that the case was complex. And then experts highlight how schools often ignore digital harms until the victims reach a breaking point. I'm just thankful the girl didn't do anything bad to herself, like try to commit suicide or something. I mean, crap. Anthony Bandero, you want to start us off?
Well, look, the first thing is, I mean, you know, one of the things they teach in law school is don't believe everything your client tells you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so there could be some more to the story. And that's often the case, but let's just take the facts as we see them. Okay. What we're told. But when I read this case, what really bothers me is obviously, yes, you know, she's having the people gang up on these kids and so forth, but they deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. They're victimizing this poor girl. And, you know, maybe it'll teach them a lesson. Maybe they'll stop doing their behavior. Because even if it's AI, I'm just thinking about myself. I don't have a daughter, but I can only imagine if this happened to my little girl, like how just the mental anguish, and you said about suicide and so forth. I guess in many respects, the AI would just be almost as harsh as the real thing. You know what I'm saying? And so, no, I absolutely think. And also then the other thing too, Chip, is that sending her to the alternative school, man, I mean, it's almost like you're ruining her life when her life was almost ruined in many ways. I just, it's victimizing the victim. And, yeah. You know, and look, I know it's complex. They didn't have the proof and so forth. But at the end of the day, where there's smoke, there's fire. She's freaking smacking this kid on the bus. And anybody knows that Snapchat has self-delete feature. So maybe there's some smoke there. There's a fire there. That's all I got to say about that. It's just, that case bothered me a lot.
Andrea.
Okay, so I'll probably say some of the unpopular things, but you know, the superintendent's right. It is, you know, it is complicated. I do have daughters. My whole thing is first of all, we're reading this, and this is one day of basically events that happened, right? It's saying that basically she was you know, she's the one that got in trouble. She got in trouble. I would separate the things, right? She probably got in trouble for the physical violence, which obviously is not allowed. So therefore, that part is separate. The other part takes time to go ahead and I don't agree with the words or anything that the school has said, but you know, you have to take some time to sit there and break that apart. Snapchat, we know, is very dangerous. You know, TikTok, very dangerous. I think one of the things that you have to do is sit there and realize, okay, there's probably some credibility there. It might take a little more time to investigate that part. You know, they should have said, you know what, we're taking time to sit here and try and gather all the facts and, you know, figure out what actually happened. And we promise we will look into this. And then maybe she would have felt somewhat vindicated. And then the fact that he went on, why is there a phone at school? First of all, second of all, you know, that shouldn't be allowed. That stuff shouldn't be able to be disseminated there on school property. That's one reason why phones are not allowed in schools. People don't understand. Parents keep sending their kids with phones to school, even though they're not supposed to be there. So, you know, look at all where the responsibility lies. She should never have been victimized. Unfortunately, some of that stuff, it takes a little longer to go ahead and try and, you know, unravel what is true and what is not. We don't know her background. If that's honestly, if this is what happened, absolutely they deserve it. More kids should sit there and be held accountable for their actions. But I guarantee you what they're responding to is the actions of the physical violence, which they can see happened, versus what, you know, what the unknown is that they're going to have to take a little more time to discover. They're two separate incidents. If you kind of look at it, you kind of have to break it down. Obviously, her reaction, if I was her parent, I'd sit there and be like, good job. I'll take the expulsion. We'll go ahead and we'll deal with that. They shouldn't be disseminating any pictures with your face on it, with, you know, that are real, made up, whatever. And I would go ahead and deal with that in a court setting rather than, you know, sit there and be like, I mean, her punishments were ridiculous. That was absolutely, she shouldn't have been punished, by no means. But I think it's going to take a little more time to sit there and find out what actually happened. It was all, we literally read that in a day's time span. She acted on, you know, basically impulse. And, you know, at 13, you should know not to act on impulse. I can't blame her. I would have acted on impulse too. As a parent, I probably would have acted on impulse. But unfortunately, I think that they're looking at the two separate, you know, scenarios. And I think that it was just that the investigation of the pictures were going to take a little more time. They didn't handle that properly though.
Yeah, it sounded like the dad. I mean, I know it's frustrating, and we're dealing with a young girl, but I would have her, I mean, you know, mentally as a parent, I probably would have my child wear that as a badge of honor. It may be a little hard for them to grasp that, but going through life, I got written up for insubordination for doing something that I highly wear as a badge of honor. And I would put it on my wall because I was proud of it. Because sometimes you have to do certain things, even though you may get disciplined wrongly for it, you know, just chalk it up. I probably would get my daughter a shirt that had boxing gloves on it with a boxer and have her just wear it around the next day at school. No joke. I'm so glad that she dealt with it that way as opposed to the other way, because everybody was failing her in the system, law enforcement and school. You know,
well, the counselor, you take it to the counselor. The counselor should do something immediately then and say, you know what, we're going to look into this. And you know what? My daughter's the same age as that little girl. I'd sit there and be like, you know what, if they're not going to do it and you can't contact me, then unfortunately, you know, you're going to have to handle it appropriately. Yeah. I would snatch the phone and I would have said, here you go, you know, take the phone and give it to, you know, an adult or whatever, and whatever needs to happen happens.
Well, thanks, guys. Good commentary. We've got a video coming up. And again, we can take anything out of order if you want to. We got 3.5 minutes. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Springfield Police released body cam of a taser incident, left the suspect dead. Let's go ahead and talk about this. Some people are saying the taser killed somebody. Taser did not kill somebody, but there are rules of engagement. So Springfield, Ohio, body camera footage reveals more details about a traffic stop that led to a foot chase during which a Springfield Police Division officer deployed their taser, leaving in personal and critical condition. So let's go ahead and just, I mean, the first flag, there is a foot chase, and that is after a traffic stop. So, you know, we've already got a non-compliant bad guy. If he would have complied, this never would have happened, right? So footage shows an officer getting out of his cruiser, chases the bad guy because he's a bad guy. He's non-compliant, broken the law, and he's fleeing on foot. The officer ends up firing his taser at the fleeing man around 11:30 in the morning on Tuesday. Now, the officer tried to stop the silver pickup truck earlier for a speeding violation. The guy fled. They didn't chase. And then the officer spots the car again, attempts to stop the driver again, and the suspect runs from the officer, foot chase, department issued taser. And you got to be aware of your environment when you use a taser. This was pretty tough because I'm watching, and you can't really see everything that the officer can see, but I was totally unaware that there was the concrete there, or that there was any, that there would be anything bad that would happen with the guy going down on the taser. And you can't really tell how the people are going to land, but this guy face planted. It was concrete. It wasn't a curb. We've seen some guys get killed when their head hits a curb or whatever. It's a flat surface. The guy face planted. I have to admit, I was really surprised with the amount of the injuries. There were a lot of blood. They say his nose was busted. He was slurring his words and stuff, bleeding profusely, coming in and out of consciousness, mumbling, and he ended up dying. So that's the way this ended up happening. And they had to, you know, medevac him out, and he ended up. The article said he was in critical condition. The title of the article said that he was deceased. Travis Yates, you want to take this one?
It's no secret my belief on taser. I think the profession is overusing it. They're using it in situations they shouldn't be using it. If we keep through these videos today, we'll eventually talk about an officer using a taser against robbery suspects that ends up getting him shot. And I think this is very similar. Fleeing and running from people, that's an aggressive act. That's an act that not only is a taser maybe not applicable, it's very difficult to deploy, but I'm more worried about why they're running and what's in their hands and what they can access quickly when they do that. And so, yeah, we can have a debate all day long of when a taser should or shouldn't be used. I don't see many successes in foot pursuits with a taser. We all know when the taser tends to be more successful, right? Static, less lethal options, environments that's not potentially as violent. but we're seeing this taser used as a catch-all be-all. And listen, everyone knows it, but everyone's scared to say it. We're using it too much. We have other tools we need to be using, and it's putting officers at risk. And in this one, you know, it put the individual at risk.
Excellent point. Thank you so much, Doctor. Time for our third commercial break. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, they are the first company to offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And if you have that certification, even if you got it 5 years ago, now they've got a good deal for you because they have partnered with Smarter Degree. And your certification as a firearm specialist with GunLearn.com, even over the last 5 years, it's now worth college credits through Smarter Degrees University Partners Program. So, yeah, college credits. So they've been doing this since 1996, and they've been teaching everything that Leo's law enforcement officers need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can start today with online training, or you can register to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can also sign up your own agency to hold a seminar with no charge. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com and hook up with Daniel Kelly to get more information. Again, that's GunLearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandiero from BlueTheGold.com, Dr. Travis Yates. And he also wrote the book, Courageous Police Leader, Don't Let Them Hold Back on You, and then Officer Andrew Casale. And we've been talking about some very interesting topics. Guys, I know that we're talking about the last one. It was a bad guy. He ran from the police more than once. And the last time they did the traffic stop on him, he bailed out on foot. There's a foot chase, and they end up tasering the guy. He face plants on a concrete surface, and the injuries, surprisingly, were bad enough to end up, you know, killing him. And I know that Dr. Travis Yates was just talking about that. Any more commentary? Are you guys ready to move on? I know that we have a product by Compliant Technologies called the Glove. And I'm kind of curious, assuming that the cop would have got close enough and would have been able to keep up with the bad guy, it didn't look like he was running faster than the cop. I thought the cop was advancing on him. The glove would also be, but that's, you know, an option, but that's up close and personal option, you know, as well. So if there's no more commentary, we'll jump to our next one. I'll tell you what, I know we've got Anthony Bandiero on the show, and we've got this, the senior guy that ended up getting a 4-year prison sentence for defending himself with a gun. But because there was some kind of law in New York, he got jammed up for that. Do you want to cover that one, Anthony, or would you rather cover the tech? Is that good? Okay.
No, I think we can talk about that one a little bit.
So rvmnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media News, great, great source for stories. Queen Sr. begins a 4-year sentence on gun charges after justified self-defense shooting. I was kind of surprised to hear that. Now, the guy is 67 years old, and I used to think that was kind of old. I don't think that's old so much anymore. He's a retired doorman, and he will begin serving a 4-year prison sentence on January the 14th. After his case from Queens, it stemmed from a fatal self-defense shooting. It ultimately resulted in criminal weapons possession charges against him, and this is reported by the New York Post. So Charles Foner, he's a longtime New York City resident. He later relocated to Pennsylvania. He pled guilty to owning unlicensed firearms, plural, after a May 2023 incident that happened in Kew Gardens neighborhood of Queens. Now, although the prosecutors determined that the shooting was justified, the Queens district attorney pursued charges related to firearms that were found in his possession. So this is troubling. According to the court records and statements from authorities, it originated early morning hours of May the 23rd when our guy goes out to purchase cigarettes. And crime in the area had increased following the opening of the now closed hotel in 2017. Foner had previously complained publicly about conditions in the neighborhood, telling the New York Post back in 2020 that it's not a nice little neighborhood anymore, and there's open drug activity everywhere. So then on the night of the incident, he encounters a guy named Cody Gonzalez outside his building. Gonzalez had a criminal record dating back to 2004, mental illness, and he demanded a cigarette, and our our guy's phone. Surveillance footage captured this. He, and our guy that shot him said, hey, he kept coming closer and clearly he was going to attack me. He stated that he had pointed his firearm at the ground, but Gonzalez continued to approach and motion towards our guy's neck with an object. So our guy fired and killed Gonzalez. Remember, the shooting has been completely justified. And our guy that shot him said, hey, I didn't want to hurt anybody. He left me no choice. Now, our guy immediately called 911, cooperated with police. Prosecutors did not charge him in the death, and they ruled it justified. But a subsequent search revealed that our guy owned approximately 26 firearms, and only a few of those were licensed under New York law. Queens District Attorney Melinda Katz's office, they ended up charging Foner with criminal weapons possession, facing the possibility of a lengthy prison sentence if convicted at trial. He accepted a plea deal for 4 years. His attorney, Thomas Kenneth, who was also present, he talked about the Daniel Penny case, cited New York's firearms laws as a central issue in the case. And the attorney also said that those laws make it difficult for otherwise law-abiding citizens to legally possess firearms in order to protect themselves for self-defense. The sentencing judge declined a request from the prosecutors to remand Foner to Rikers Island immediately and allowing him to remain free through the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays too. So there you go. Anthony Bandiero.
I mean, look, a couple observations. Number one is that obviously this situation kind of happens, you know, frequently. It's not a rare situation where somebody actually uses a firearm in self-defense lawfully, but they get jammed up on some other, you know, gun crime, whether they have a short-barreled rifle or they got, you know, something that they're not supposed to have. This guy clearly, you know, he had a lot of firearms. He was a gun nut, which I endorse wholeheartedly. I'm a gun nut. So he had, you know, all these firearms and, you know, it's New York. I'm sure there was no way legally for him to actually, you know, possess some of these firearms like the AR-15s and so forth. Regardless, a couple things that when I look at this case, I think a couple things. Number one is, I wonder if he gave consent, because how did it get into his apartment? Okay. I mean, the gun, the shooting happened outside. So yeah,
I'm not even. He didn't have 26 guns on him. You're right.
He didn't have 26 guns on him. So this is just a lesson to even my cop friends out there that you don't give consent. Okay. You know, if that's what happened here, it burned him. He, you know, he basically dug his own grave. And the other thing is, you know, don't talk, you know, have a lawyer talk for you. Right. I have, self-defense insurance. I recommend it. You know, I'm a lawyer and I have self-defense insurance because I don't want to defend myself. I want somebody else doing the mouthpiece for me. So I just think about stuff like that, Chip. Obviously the shooting, and this is something that's just like the video or the commentary about the AI pick. It's just two different issues. What happened on the bus and what happened on the phone, right? But I just think about did he consent to search of his apartment?
Great question. Yeah. Now you're at an undisclosed location right now, Anthony, within the city limits of New York, correct?
I am actually. Come and get me. Come and get me. I'll because actually there's, I was going to talk about it, but there's a Second Amendment argument here that I don't know if they made, but you know, you could try to get out of his mess by just making a Second Amendment argument, but of course it ain't going to work, but at least you try, you know, that he could lawfully possess those guns under the Second Amendment
and they're register them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think registration laws are unconstitutional, but of course, that's a you need a very high level attorney to make that argument. It ain't gonna be the public defender's office. Well, I shouldn't be insulting like that. Most of them not gun guys. That's why I'm saying it. They don't have the actual knowledge, the depth of knowledge to really pull that off.
Dr. Travis Yates.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that everybody listening to this spreads the word. If you're not in the blue to gold ecosphere or ecosystem, you're screwing up, man. Like, obviously you just heard Anthony. He's not on the show as much as he can, but he's on the road a lot. It's the best training company out there, wholeheartedly, full stop. Quit playing around. At minimum, get over to the website blue2go.com and put your email in there and get inside the things that they're doing. I cannot say that enough. This doesn't benefit me. I'm just telling you, I've been around the training world for 30 years. They're the best.
Thank you. I appreciate them.
Wow, what a great endorsement. Yeah.
And it's sincere. Obviously, I appreciate that.
And well, guys, if there's no more commentary on that one, we have less than 2 minutes. And I think that we maybe have just enough story to cover this feel-good story, if that's okay, where we've got at rumble.com, this is Butter. Body cam footage shows this Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper locates two kidnapped children on I-70.
Hey, hands up now.
Yeah, bro.
Hands up. Get out of the car. Get out of the car now. No, don't you go for nothing. Hey kids, you okay? Don't worry, the highway patrol's here, okay? You okay? Let me get you out. You guys want some stickers? Can I help you guys with some stickers? Come here. Let me help you out. Come here. Come here. What's your name? You are so cute. Oh, come here.
Hey, Bubba.
I was really impressed with the way he interacted with the children after this traumatic stop. And he downplayed it, right? So when the kids go back and they remember the stuff going down, there's so much stuff that I don't think that they're going to remember as being traumatic just because of the, you know, the way the guy handled it. And just real quick, they located the children ages 1 and 3 on Interstate 70 in Lafayette County, and that's 15 minutes after an Amber Alert went off. That's incredible. Troopers located the suspect's vehicle using a license plate reader, you know, technology and information provided by citizens. The children's mother was first driving the vehicle, giving the suspect a ride to someone else's house. And when the vehicle was stopped, the mother got out. Suspect steals the car with the two kids in it. And they initially fleed from a trooper, and the suspect ended up pulling over as the officers from the patrol and the Concordia Police Department joined in. Higginsville Police, they joined in. So we had like three agencies. And then the Columbia Police Department said the officers responded to a call regarding the kidnapping. So we got a fourth agency, and they arrested Joy Smith, 24 years old, of Columbia, on two counts of the second-degree kidnapping and tampering with a motor vehicle. And, you know, I remember the trooper saying, hey, it's okay. The highway patrol is here. Here's a quote. Don't worry, the highway patrol is here. Oh, I absolutely love it. Commentary on this feel good story, guys. Andrea, you've got young children. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I thought that this was great, and I did think that he handled himself very, very well. I think that's one of the things that people have to understand when officers go into a situation. These are lives that, you know, it's like you're dealing with everyday lives. You're dealing with children. You're dealing with, you know, family members. So to the way that they went into that, just thinking like, obviously they don't know what they're going into, right? You're coming up to a car. You don't know what he has in there, but they do know that he has the kids in there. And I thought that they handled it very well. I just, you know, I couldn't imagine if this was my children. And I thought that, you know, very stand up job that they did on this one. Thank you for sharing this one, Chip. Thank you for ending our new year with something positive.
and as a retired trooper, the only thing that story's missing is what was the status of her registration. I hope that she had current registration. That also, that's things I think
you
about.
You are a diehard trooper. Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what? I'm so glad that you brought it back to that. That's right.
Let's keep it real, man. Cause I'll probably give her a ticket for that too. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah. Here's your kids back, but here's your ticket for expired registration.
Well, guys, we are about out of time, and I appreciate so much you all being on the show. I want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt. Travis Yates has got greatest police leader. I just had that up on the screen. Andrea Casal, thank you guys so much. Everybody here is available, you know, on LinkedIn as well if you want to contact them. A shout out to our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com. We have GunLearner.com on Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and TubeBells.com. Don't forget the Gulls code, Radio15, to get 15% off your next purchase at Gulls.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.